Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta, talking with Monsignor Charles Pope, who's part of a group that will be meeting in Southeast Michigan at the Inn at St. John's. This is in Plymouth, Michigan. And it's coming up August 10th through 12th. It's Love One Another as I Have Loved You, Welcoming and Accompanying Our Brothers and Sisters with Same-Sex Attraction. Dr. Janet Smith will be there. Archbishop Vigneron will be there. Father Check will be there. Thomas Cardinal Collins will be there. We'll also hear from Robin Beck. We're going to have Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris present, Dr. Mary Healy, Dr. Ralph Martin, Father John Ricardo. Many people that we're so familiar with. Dr. Ed Peters will be there, our friend Dan Mattson. So lots of folks showing up for this conference. And again, the aim of the conference is to help Catholics come to grips with living in a culture that has adopted, even to the point of marriage, same-sex relationships. How do you maintain the clear teaching of the Church, which includes loving one another? How do you maintain that and also speaking the truth? So we'll be telling you more as the date comes up. We'll tell you more and more about how to get there. But we have all the information located at AveMariaRadio.net if you want to follow up on it right now. Let's go to another scenario, Monsignor. Teacher in the parish school. Been teaching there for years. Popular, good teacher. All of a sudden you learn that she or he is living with a same-sex partner. You know this because a reliable parishioner has reported it to you. What do you do?
Well, here, too, I think that we want to be using the same standards that we use with heterosexual situations, or at least should have been using, which is that, you know, take a teacher openly living with her boyfriend and so on. And again, we would want to indicate that this is in opposition to Catholic teachings, and to live in open opposition to the teaching of the Church and yet teach in a Catholic school is not consonant with the duties, and we should therefore, you know, let them go.
Is that kind of requirement usually in teachers' contracts?
Well, it's becoming more the situation. A little situation that I'm familiar with in a diocese in this country, where they were pretty sure that being set up by the gay community. Three gay couples brought their children and to present to Catholic schools. And so what we did is we took something that we already had in the contracts, not contracts, but the agreements when parents enroll, and we just beefed them up and made them clearer, and we're enforcing them more. The diocese that I'm talking about is my own, but as I say, I'm talking quite generically. There's a lot more in the details. But in effect, basically each parent agrees that they're not going to openly contradict the teachings of the Catholic Church by what they say or by how they live. And if they don't want to agree to sign that, then this might not be the kind of school that would want to enroll their child in.
Interesting.
So it's an agreed upon situation. Now that's for the parents, you see, and that's very different. Now when you've got a teacher, of course, there different dioceses have had this, in different ways down through the decades. Some dioceses are better with this than others, but where the contracts do pretty clearly specify, right now in the diocese, for all of our ministerial positions, we have a very clear clause that indicates that a person was not going to live in open opposition, whether by word or by lifestyle, to the teachings. Now, that would be true only for what we call ministerial positions, right?
So janitors aren't required.
Yeah. Right now, no, and I don't know that... again, that could, I think, possibly, I'm not a lawyer, but I could see that could almost be legally challenged at this point. But anyway, the point is, anyone that we would reasonably consider ministerial, who's in some way representing teaching the faith itself, whether on higher staff levels or in any form of education or what have you, even things like music directors and others who are involved in liturgical leadership, all of these are what we call ministerial. So something similar is applied to this, and that is to say that we would have to handle this the very same way we would. Now, by the way, I would always say to any pastor, clearly, never, never, never handle a situation like this alone.
Mm, good
you
point.
Always go to the diocesan yeah. offices and you work with the personnel because, you know, if you handle, you know, even say one little phrase wrong, you know, it can all be blow up in a lawsuit. And it's not just about homosexual issues, but even other issues. Mm. So just never, these days, personnel is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
work with the diocese.
Yeah, no, that's very good advice. Do you anticipate, you probably do, I do certainly, I anticipate there's going to be more and more legal challenges, that
yeah.
there'll be more and more set-up situations.
I agree. And I also, even if they're not set-up situations, they're just going to start happening now because, as I say, people are becoming more public about their lifestyle choices,
right.
and it's going to impose these kinds of scenarios more frequently and more publicly. They're going to make the news more. And so with all that in mind, we've just got to really get very, very clear with our contractual language, if I can use that term, with the teachers and also with any other ministerial positions. And we're going to have to become clear. And sadly, we've already seen how not every diocese or bishop is deciding to enforce these things.
I know.
In the same way, and it's a great sadness, I think, in our church that even at the level of bishops, there isn't always agreement on how to move forward with this.
Yeah.
Some are being relegated to silence, have said or done almost nothing. Others have been right out there and very in the forefront and have had a lot to suffer, and everything in between.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is something the Bishops' Conference can, you know, require that there be a uniformity, but it would be wished, I think, that there would be. It would make the case a lot stronger.
It would. It'd be because there'd be. This is the kind of thing you would hope there'd be universal agreement on, because it does go to how we bear witness to the truth of the faith.
Yeah.
So.
And in fairness to the bishops, there are prudential issues, but I think at the level of policy, though, there really should be something hammered out quickly,
yeah.
rather quickly, that's pretty universally applied throughout the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to a little bit different situation. This time you've got a student preparing for confirmation, and this student has just come forward and said that he is supportive of same-sex marriage. He's thought about it, and so what do you do?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me make a distinction. You know, as anxious as I am to try to get a young child or an infant baptized, and I'm willing to bend over backwards as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel the same way about First Communion or certainly confirmation.
Right.
And particularly because in many places today we're confirming students now who are 8th, 9th graders and so on. So, therefore, they're going to be asked, to come forward before their confirmation and then state the creed, recite the creed, and to in effect state that they believe whatever the Holy Catholic Church believes, teaches, and professes to be revealed by God. Communion doesn't just mean I think Jesus is a great guy. Communion means I'm on board with all the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. And this is one of the reasons why we restrict the sacrament of Holy Communion. And we again, here too, we've gotten quite lazy about all that. But it all the more follows that if someone wants to step forward and be confirmed in the very faith, that they would therefore not, if you will, pardon the expression, but would not lie.
Right.
And in effect, the student would be, in effect, lying. So he would be invited to consider that. And I think the pastor could say, I think we need to delay your confirmation.
Sure.
And this would be true about not just this issue, but if there were other significant moral issues. Again, we want to try to be clear that this isn't singling one issue out. It's a consistent thing that we've got to mm-hmm. apply, and we haven't always done well with that, but on the other hand, I do think we've been better about confirmation than other sacraments. I do think that frequently young people have demurred from being confirmed, and we've accepted that,
yeah,
and we need to sometimes.
Let's talk about same-sex couple comes to Mass. They engage. Well, it's clear that they're a couple, either some public display of affection. But anyways, they are known as a same-sex couple. How should lay people respond to them? I mean, my approach would be, okay, they're here, they're at Mass. I give them the benefit of the doubt. They sense that there's something here they want. At the same time, and I want to welcome them. I want to say, I'm glad to have you here. At what point Do you address the elephant in the sanctuary, though?
Yeah. Well, I think now you have the scenario here of a lay person
right.
talking to. So
right.
I want to encourage lay people everywhere to have courage. You're going to suffer, first of all. You're going to suffer if you stand up about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And just accept it. But secondly, so have some courage. But secondly, a little bit of finesse, you know. Thomas More and others didn't run to the gallows, so to speak. they would use all every other lesser option first. And
right.
I think in this case, we want to, I think, express our discomfort and simply keep it personal and say, I'm uncomfortable in seeing public displays of affection between the two of you, and I just want you to know that I'm uncomfortable. I'm glad you're here. But I'm not comfortable with that. Now, you see, everybody always demands that we be comfortable about, or, you know, we're not to offend or hurt their feelings.
Right.
Nobody ever seems to care when it comes to a traditional Christian about our feelings.
Right.
And I think that at some point we need to turn the tables on that and say, now, look, I'm uncomfortable with this. You know, you're introducing or acting as this person were your spouse, and I'm sorry, that isn't our faith, and I don't agree with that.
Right.
Now, they might say, well, what about if a heterosexual couple smooches at the sign of peace? You don't have any problem with that. I said, no, but here, too, stand your ground a little and say, but one is not intrinsically sinful,
right.
you see.
Right.
And I'm sorry, that is the teaching of the church, and I'm uncomfortable to see you violating that in the very sanctuary where I come to worship. Now, listen, I just want to tell you that, you know. But I think keep it very personal. Just report your feelings. You don't have to accuse or, you know, point your finger and tell them 80 things they're doing that are wrong. But if they do probe you why you're uncomfortable, you say, well, I think it's wrong.
Yeah.
But stand your ground. But start just by reporting your own discomfort with it and ask them to be considerate of that.
Yeah.
And just invite them to consider your feelings.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good place to begin. And if they get, it gets feisty and all, then I just encourage, stand your ground a little. You haven't done anything wrong. Just because somebody's upset with you doesn't mean you've done something wrong. It might mean, but it doesn't always mean that. So accept the fact that you're gonna suffer a little, and it's going to be uncomfortable, but it's okay.
Talk to us, Monsignor, about the upcoming Courage Conference here in the Detroit area, Southeast
yeah.
Michigan.
Well, you did a very admirable job, you know, describing all the wonderful folks that are going to be there. And, again, the main thing, I think, for a lot of us is to compare notes, to listen. There will be people there who have a homosexual orientation, same-sex attraction, as
yeah.
we should, you know,
yeah.
we're trying to be more disciplined in speaking of it as. We're going to hear and listen. We're going to see what seems to work best, imitate best practices, share experiences, and try to get better at this. And,
yeah.
and again, not just this, but that whole broad range of issues that, because of discomfort, none of us like to talk a lot about sexual matters at all, but we've just got to get more comfortable and more clear about it, and be able to talk well.
Indeed. Well, let me thank you once again for being with me today and for all that you do. Your pastoral leadership means a lot to all of us who read what you write, and I hope to see you when you're here. So.
Okay, bless you, and I immensely enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you, Monsignor. Monsignor Charles Pope, again, will have all the information available, how you can stay in touch with him, and also about the upcoming conference at AveMariaRadio.net.